We have been spending this summer talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, talking about what it's like to be living a Spirit-filled life. And as I was preparing, I talked to these guys about, you know, I don't know where this person finished off with this, and I don't know where this person started with this. So there's a lot of overlap in this. And I asked Kurt to make sure that temp was way down on this too, for because I know Tom sometimes will fall asleep on me. So, but there's a lot of things I'm going to talk about in just kind of a rapid fire. We're going to do a little bit just kind of a review with this and talk about some of this before we get into kind of the meat of what we're going through. So, with this, I think this is such a vital part of our Christian walk. I think it's such a vital part of who we are in our daily lives with God. And but I think it's something that so often we understand so little about. So I think we really need to put that time and effort into this. He demands and deserves our time. How foolish of us to ever try anything in our Christian walk without understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a moment and pray. And Father, we just ask that you would bless this time together. I pray that you would allow us to gain an understanding, and just see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I pray that you would just open our minds to what you have to teach us, these scriptures, interpret it properly for us, and allow the Spirit just to work in our lives as we learn about you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So we're going to start in Galatians. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 5, and that's where we're going to kind of start a little bit of a rapid fire in this. We're going to go over a couple passages of Scripture. We always have them up here. I urge you to have them in your books, to have them in your Bibles, to have your Bibles open, have a pen and pencil ready or something you can take some notes. There's going to be a few places that we're going to be discussing some points in here. But Galatians chapter 5 tells us to walk by the Spirit so we don't carry out the desires of the flesh. So we see, first of all, two big things, two big areas here. We see the Spirit and the flesh. Lucas and I were watching Karate Kid the other night, and it was funny hearing Mr. Miyagi, hearing the teacher talk about when you dedicate yourself to martial arts, when you want to learn karate, you either say, I'm going to learn karate, or I'm not going to learn karate. And that's either one are fine. And it's like walking on sides of the road. If you walk over here, you're okay. Walk over here, you're okay. But if you choose to cross the two, if you chose to do a little bit of this, a little bit of this, what happens, Lucas? Sooner or later, you get what? Just like grape. Just get squashed. So you have to make your choice. And this is something, again, where we see the two opposite sides. You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is the third person of a triune God, the third person of the Trinity, that provides power, the creative power, the interpretive power, the directing power. And the flesh is the part of something within you that's expressing the inner desire to do something outside the will of God. We deal with that daily. Verse 25 there says, Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, we have to walk by the Spirit. We have to keep in step with the Spirit. It's not just this one-time thing. This is an ongoing thing. So who is the Spirit? Well, let's start where the Bible starts. Let's start where God's Word starts. Way back in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 2, the Spirit hovered over this unformed creation, or this creation before it was done. That's the creative power. The Spirit is what set the earth right where it needs to be so that we don't burn up because we're too close to the sun or too far away from the sun that we freeze to death. That creating power. We learn about that in Genesis right there. In verse 26, just a little bit further, we hear God say, let us make man in our image. Our image. Let us make man in our image. Okay, so what's this us? Let us make man in our image. Let's move to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 tells us who this us is, who the parts of this us are. Three parts. John chapter 14, verse 26. Oh, excuse me, we're going to start in 16. Jesus, the Son, is speaking here. I will ask the Father, and He will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So we hear all three of those there. In verse 26, now we're good, Ben. I'm sorry, I messed you up. In verse 26 there, the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus, to teach you two things here. To teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. So those are the things that the Holy Spirit is helping us with here. You can't understand God without getting that. So everybody good? You can't understand that. Sherman, you got it? You can't understand God without understanding that. If you don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to understand the help that we have available to us, the victory that we can have, not because of our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, who comes in the name of Jesus when we ask Him to be Lord of our lives. Many people wonder, why don't I have any victory when I'm tempted? Why am I so weak when it comes to temptation? And we don't understand sometimes the help that we have access to. The Holy Spirit is sent to us for very specific purposes. We cannot accomplish what He has in mind for us without the Holy Spirit's help. He is a vital part of every believer's life. But who is He? That in John 14, that word, and these guys, we have some Greek scholar elders here. We have some on point guys here that will tell me that when I mispronounced, is it Parakletos, which in Greek it just translates one who walks beside, the helper, the comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 says again, the helper or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will, number one, teach you all things. That's interpreting the truth. Interpreting God's word. See, without Him, we just basically have one of the commentaries, one of the many commentaries that are on Barnes & Noble shelves. Or even worse, a man-made faith, a man-made religion. We need the Holy Spirit to interpret the truth. That's one. The second part is He will also, number two, bring to your remembrance all that I, Jesus speaking there, all that I have said to you. One of His responsibilities is to remind us of the truth, the word, when we need it. And I think about this next coming week. How much am I going to need the Holy Spirit to stand in that gap when we're talking about timing, we're talking about the people that He wants me to speak to, a language barrier, remembering passages of Scripture. If it's anything like the help that I need while I'm here, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of help that I need. But if you're afraid to witness because you will forget the verses or where they're found, remember who your helper is. Now, my mother, who is my English teacher, is now shuddering, and she has a chill up her spine because I said that, remember who your helper is. But remember your helper, the Holy Spirit. That is one of His responsibilities, to remind us. John 15, 26 gives us another point here. John 15, 26 says, when he comes from the Father, he will testify about me, Jesus, is speaking there. He always directs to Jesus, never himself. Chapter 16, verse 8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He guides us in all truth. So we've been in John. We're going to go for just a minute into Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 tells us that we have not been given a spirit of slavery, which leads to fear, but we have been given the spirit of adoption as sons to cry, Abba, Father, that special relationship that we have with the Father, that assurance of our relationship with the Father. So when the tempter brings all that doubt and tries to get us with that doubt, who do you think you are that you can call upon God, that you're going to be effective for God, that you're going to be used by God after what you've done in your life, after what you watched, after what you said, after what you thought? When the tempter does those kind of things, the Holy Spirit brings that assurance of our relationship to God. You're a child of God. That doesn't matter. Don't listen to that. You're a child of God. You have a job to do. Let's get to work. Verse 16 tells again, the Spirit bears witness, reminds you of the promises of God. What a comforting passage. But I think the most important one, Acts chapter 1, 8. This is such a comfort to me. After all that Jesus had taught his disciples, after all the things that Jesus had taught his disciples, all the teachings, all the experiences that these guys had with them. Get this. This is what Jesus says to them. You're not ready yet. All that experience, all that education, all that stuff that they had just learned. And for him to say, you're not yet ready to do the work that I have called you to do. It's only when the Spirit empowers and indwells them that they are given their marching orders, that they're told, now you'll be ready. Go get them. Folks, this is one of the most comforting and most empowering verses for me in all of Scripture. Because it tells me that my education won't cut it. It tells me that my experiences won't cut it. My last name won't cut it. My lineage, my popularity, or my bank account won't cut it. And it doesn't have to. That's what this verse says. It doesn't have to. I don't have to. He fills that gap. The Holy Spirit fills that gap. You think I'm up here because of my vast intellect? I heard some laughs over here, especially from this side. I heard some laughs and chuckles and everything. But the best thing that I have on my earthly resume is that I have been allowed to be a part of people, certain people, coming to faith in Jesus Christ, dedicating their lives to Jesus. And that's not because I'm funny enough. That's not because I'm smart enough or any ability that I have. That's because of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. When I worked in a criminal youth shelter, I would hear from people when they're at that rock bottom, and a lot of you who have been involved in the prison ministry have heard that. I'm nobody. I am nobody. And I would say, me too. Let me introduce you to somebody. But as we start to gain this understanding, if you are a child of God, saved by the work of Jesus with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you sure can't fall into that category anymore. God intends us to walk in His Spirit. That is where we get our power. Whether we teach Sunday school, whether we lead worship, whether we visit people, whether we serve communion, whether we give rides, whether we write cards, we are to rely on the Holy Spirit for His strength, His leading, His motivation, His nudging. See, without that strength and without that authority, it's our power alone. And I don't know about you, but that gets exhausted pretty quick. But it's also walking in the flesh, not the Spirit. When I choose to do those things on my own, that's walking in the flesh, which is contrary to God. The enemy loves it when we do things for God in our strength, when we start ministries in our strength, because that's when we get tired, that's when we get exhausted, that's when we get discouraged, that's when we get frustrated, we get burned out, we get jaded, and even say, why are they trying this again? I tried this before and it didn't work. Why are they trying it again? What makes them special? And then we start arguing with ourselves, with each other, and going, who does she think she is that she's going to be able to do this when I wasn't able to do it? Instead of saying, Holy Spirit, you have a gap to fill, and you must be filling it differently. And maybe in my case, I was doing it on my strength. So how can I get behind this and help when somebody else is working on that ministry? Maybe it was something that I was doing because that job needed filled. And maybe this person is called to use her gifts or his gifts to rock this ministry out. Without the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never be adequate to do the will of God. He fills the gaps. The Holy Spirit fills the gap between my limitations over here, and God's implementation. That huge gap, what God wants to accomplish and what my abilities allow. That's a big gap. In my case, that's a big gap. I have way too many limitations to lead a worship service or to teach a lesson on Sunday morning or to work with youth or to go on a missions trip. It will never happen in my strength. It'll never be effective in my strength. I have to be sensitive to His leading. I have to rely on Him. And I have to obey Him. Those are three points I want to talk about for a moment. I have to rely completely on the Holy Spirit and understand I can't do it. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. And you know what? Dawn, you and I have talked about it. Man, that's a good place to be, realizing I'm not getting it done. I can't do it. I'm going to rely completely on You. That's the only way it's going to get done. To know that I am just like David. How does he describe this ruddy kid with a slingshot against a giant, but with a big helper beside him? With that picture? I love this picture. I'm this little lamb that the enemy is waiting to go, you're crazy. You think you can do this? I saw what you were doing. What do you think you're doing? There's no way you're going to be able to do this. And he starts all this stuff. And then he sees who's with me. I have the King of Kings with me. And that enemy, that wolf, is nothing compared to my helper that I have. He fills the gaps with my inability, with my lack of understanding. even my lack of ability to pray. There are times that I'm praying for people. I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what I'm praying about. I get calls. I'm in the Gideon organization, and I get calls. People will say, sometimes in the middle of the night, I need you to pray. Okay. I don't know all the details of it. I don't know what's going on necessarily. Sometimes who am I even praying for, really? But he does. I know that he knows what's going on. I know he knows all the details, and I know who's in control of that situation. We have a helper. Romans 8:26 tells me that the one of his responsibilities is to interpret my prayers personally and perfectly with groanings that I don't even understand. That's what he does. My ability, right here, this big gap, and what God wants to accomplish. He closes that gap and fills in that gap. To walk in the Spirit is to be sensitive to Him, to rely on Him, to be obedient to Him, to live constantly in dependence on Him, be sensitive to Him, in obedience to Him. Every moment of my day, submissive to the Holy Spirit to accomplish the tasks God has for me to do. His way, not my way. If I'm going to live to accomplish His purposes, I need to be sensitive to His leading. Like that voice that says sometimes, don't go that way. You could get yourself in trouble. Or don't watch that. If you watch that, it's going to mess you up. If you say this to that person, you're going to regret it. There has never once in my life been a time that I listened to that voice and didn't say, oh, thank you. I am so glad I listened to that. There's also never been a time that I have chosen not to listen to that voice when I haven't been really, really upset that I didn't listen. And there have been a lot of those times. When we travel internationally, we take the boys, there's this thing I say to them, like, one thing, I'll take you to a glacier, I'll take you in a volcano, I'll take you anywhere we can go. But I need you to understand one thing. When I tell you to stop, that's not a time for you to decide if you're going to listen. That's not a time for you to think about it. That's not a time for you to debate whether or not you're going to listen to me. What do I need you to do? To stop. I don't have time at that moment. I'm going to get the big one back there. I don't have time to describe to you what the thought processes are. I don't have time to help you understand in some cases. I just need them to listen to me. They will see the reasoning later. Now they just need to stop. Whether that be taking a step back, whether that be don't touch that, whether that be move to your right, whatever the situation is. I need them to trust me. I need them to listen to me. Trust and obey. What good advice. Trust and obey. It sounds like a song. I can listen to the Spirit's guidance. I can listen to the Spirit's guidance, or I can choose to not listen to Him. Or sometimes I make that choice to kind of listen, kind of obey, like King Saul did. God said to him, Saul, I want you to do this. And Saul kind of did that. And then when God came to him and said, what are you doing? I told you to do this. And Saul said, well, I kind of listened. I mean, I mostly listened. And then another time when God said, I don't want you to do this. And Saul somewhat listened and didn't do some of that or did it a little later. And God came to him and said, I told you not to do that. And Saul said, well, I mostly listened. It was these people were saying this, so I kind of, then I felt I had to do it. That mostly listening thing didn't work for Saul. It sure didn't work with my dad when I tried it on him. It doesn't work when Abbott and Costello over there try to use it on me. And it sure doesn't work on our Heavenly Father when we try to use it. What a gift we have as believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through our conscience. Don't do that. Do this. Don't go there. Grab this even before you leave the house. He can use that. He is truly our helper. And I've been asked, well, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, we know that the Holy Spirit will never lead you outside the will of God. We know that the Holy Spirit will never disobey the Word of God. The funny part is when I think I need to have that explanation of why this is happening this certain way or why He wants me to do this certain thing. Like my kids on those trips, I need to keep my mouth shut and I need to understand that I need to listen. You don't need to understand the why. Just know that I love you. And just know that I can see the big picture. There are a lot of things that I can't see. But He loves me enough to guide me. He leads us and fills those gaps. So as we kind of finish up some things today, every day we determine our mindset. If you pull one thing away from this today, every day we determine our mindset. We all have that choice. Unbelievers and believers alike, we all have that choice to have our mind set. We can set our minds on things of this world, getting ahead no matter what. I don't care who I have to screw over. I don't care who I have to step on. I'm going to accomplish these tasks. Or sometimes it's, I'm gonna make this person feel right. I'm gonna make this person feel nice. Maybe I'll get ahead in the process. Maybe I'll get something out of this. Or sometimes it's, I'm gonna do the absolute least I need to do today. I had a busy weekend, and I'm gonna come in at 7:59, and I'm gonna read my emails for the next 20 minutes, and then I'm gonna go get coffee, and I'm gonna do the absolute least that I need to do. Or you can set your mind on the Spirit of God to be sensitive to Him, to rely on Him, to obey Him. Understand, the flesh is outside the will of God, contrary to God, in rebellion to God. And when we watch this, when we look at that, when we say to her what I think, without thinking about it, without considering what is going to glorify God, those things can get me in trouble all the time. And there are times then that we say, well, it's who I am. I just speak my mind. I have to say it. That's the truth. I have to say it. That's a part of me. I have to do that. This is a part of me. I have to do this. I can't change. That's just who I am, like it or not. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that is a lie of the enemy. Satan can't make us do anything. He can try to guide us a certain way. He can try to push a certain way. But the choice is up to me. The choice is up to you. But you can't do both. Will you live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? Romans 8:6 says, a mind set on the flesh is death, because it is hostile to God. But a mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. If you choose the mind that is set on the flesh, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot please God. It is impossible. For me, I have this daily battle that I go through. And we all do. This daily in my life, I have two battles that go on. The first is a battle in the mind. The second is a battle of my behavior. It starts in the mind. If you don't win the battle of the mind, you won't win the battle of your behavior. Will you follow the leading of the Spirit or the leading of the flesh, which is hostile to God? Which will you do? One of my favorite passages is 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13 that says, prepare your mind for action. Prepare your mind for action. Whether it be something where you're kind of thinking about going over here, prepare your mind for action, because that may not be the best thing for you to do. Whether that be to say something to her, be careful. That may not be the best route to go. Prepare your mind for action. To not forgive somebody for something, what can it hurt? Prepare your mind for action. On what will you set your mind? In the morning, Lord, today, guide me and make me sensitive to you, to the people you want me to meet, to the things you want me to do. One of the jobs, again, of the Holy Spirit is to remind you of the things that you should be doing. You decide what to watch. You decide what to listen to. You decide what you will program your mind to do. You will either feed the flesh or you'll starve it to death. You will set your mind on either the flesh or the Spirit. But understand, when you set your mind on garbage, your mind will be on garbage that entire day. Whether that be anger, whether that be anxiety, whether that be grief or lust, whatever that situation is, you decide. And you decide to feed your mind with the things that bring life, the Word of God, the songs that honor and worship God, or to turn away from those options. But don't think you can fool yourself for a second that what you put in your mind won't come out in your words, your behaviors, your attitudes. My dad loved to say this. He had this thing that he said as computers began. He worked in computers a lot. And he had this, the main rule of computers, garbage in, garbage out. He always said that, garbage in, garbage out. And it works for computers, but it also works for your mindset. Garbage in, garbage out. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit. David said that he loved to meditate on God's Word. He practiced it. When he didn't, he got himself in trouble, just like me. It never fails. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit guides, it reminds, it directs us in the paths that lead to life, leading to honor God, and leading to pointing others to Christ. People that live by the flesh are very different from those that live by the Spirit. Notice I didn't say believers from non-believers. People that live by the flesh are very different from those that live by the Spirit. You can choose your mindset, whether you will seek God's will for your life daily and ask the Holy Spirit to fill that gap where your abilities end, or whether you will seek the things of this world that bring rebellion from God and death. However it's portrayed, however you color that picture, understand that that is exactly what living to the flesh means, rebellion and death. Will you set your mind on and live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? Make your choice wisely. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the insight that we can gain in your word. When the helper, who is here to interpret truth, who is here to show us truth and remind us of truth, when that helper shows us the gap between our abilities and what you have us to do, Lord, it's so enlightening, but it's so empowering. The Holy Spirit just takes our inabilities and fills that gap to allow us to do incredible things for God. Lord, I pray for each person who's here today. I pray that you would allow us, even tomorrow morning, to start our day with that understanding that we can't do it ourselves, that we have to have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, be with us, to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us, to push us on. May we understand, Lord, that we are just that lamb against a very big wolf. We have no chance at all without our Helper. But with that Helper, that wolf doesn't stand a chance. I pray for the rest of this service, Lord, that we would worship you, our time together as we fellowship together down on the other end of the fellowship hall. Lord, just be with us this week as the mission team prepares for this trip. I pray for all the prayer warriors that are here, Lord, bring to their minds that this trip needs to be bathed in prayer. Minute by minute, every time they look at that mirror or their desk or that window or the sink, bring this trip to their minds, Lord. And we will thank you in advance for everything you, not us, you are going to accomplish. It is in Jesus' name we pray.